I also want to join in with Brother Keith in welcoming you here tonight. I appreciate you being here. Certainly thankful for an opportunity to be back with you tonight. Glad that you could be here to visit or are visiting with us tonight. We appreciate you being here as well. I thought tonight, since probably most of the folks who are here are members of the church, I thought I'd bring a lesson about us being workers together in the vineyard of the Lord. And so I hope you'll take out your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I wanted to use that, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18, we'll read there down through chapter 6 and in verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. "And all things are of God," Paul says, "who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So once you go back and look, if you look at verse number 17 of that same chapter, he says, "If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so then as he continues on, he talks about the fact that we have been reconciled to God through Christ. And as a result of that, in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Most of us know what an ambassador is. An ambassador is one who represents someone else, or maybe a country. For example, we have ambassadors all around the world that represent our country, that represent our nation. So you and I, as Christians, are ambassadors for Christ. We are spokesmen for Christ. Not speaking things because the Holy Spirit is inspiring us to say things, but rather because God has given us His Word. And so Paul says there that as we are ambassadors of Christ, he says he wants us to be reconciled unto God, wanted them to be reconciled to God, wants everyone to be reconciled unto God, really. But then as he gets into that next section, chapter 6 as we know it, we're workers together with Him. Do we take our relationship with Jesus Christ seriously? Or is this just something that we do because our parents did? Or is this something we do because our grandparents wanted us to become Christians? Do we take our relationship with the Lord seriously? We are to be workers in the kingdom of God. We sometimes sing the song, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." As we sing our songs, whether it be the songs that Bruce led us in this evening, or the songs we'll sing tomorrow night, or the songs we've already sang already this week, or the songs that we sing when we come together, as we sing those songs, those words are to mean something to us. That's not just something that we go through. Just, well, we sing two songs, we have a prayer, another song, the preacher will preach, we have an invitation song. It's not just some ritual that we go through. As we sing these songs are to mean something to us. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Do you? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we are workers together with God. We are workers together with Christ. We are workers together with Brother Willie Pastor, who just got released from prison, going in a prison and teaching people. And as a result, as Brother Greer's already said, converted over 600 people. And he had every reason to wallow in self-pity. We don't have those obstacles. And how many of us have converted even one person to the Lord? We are workers together with God. It's a serious business. So we talked about the other night our warfare. Our soul hangs in the balance. Our soul's in jeopardy, and so are the souls of others. And so again, we're going to talk about this idea of working together with God. How does the church accomplish its work? Now, somebody might answer and say, well, we hire a preacher. He comes in, he works, we pay him a salary, and he works, and that's how we accomplish our work. No. Wrong answer. That's not how we accomplish our work. That may be how some folks think we accomplish our work, but that's not how the church accomplishes its work. How did the first century Christians do it? How did they accomplish the task of preaching the gospel to the whole world at that time? How did they do that? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Take your Bibles and turn over there and read that with me. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not being tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You know, one time we're running over here because this sounds good. The next time we're running over here because this sounds good. And no, you're grounded and you're settled and you're firmly implanted. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard to the Colossians, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. How did they accomplish that? They didn't have email. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have newspapers. They didn't, as far as the kind of newspapers we have today, they didn't have radios. They didn't have televisions. How did they accomplish that task? In Acts chapter 2, we read of at least on the day of Pentecost there, 3,000 souls at one time obeyed the gospel. 3,000 people. Not 30, not 300, 3,000. And it wasn't a miracle. Yes, the apostles spoke in languages they'd never studied before. That was a miraculous imparting of the Holy Spirit, but those who obeyed the gospel, that wasn't miraculous. That was Peter getting up and preaching the gospel. And then later, 5,000 souls would obey the gospel. That's 8,000 souls. I don't know how many people live in Harrodsburg, in the city limits. Usually they have a city limit number, then they have a Mercer County population. But let's just say, for example, 10,000 people live within the city limits of Harrodsburg. And I keep wanting to say Tompkinsville. I don't know why. Maybe because I ate dinner with a lady tonight from Monroe County. But let's say in the city of Harrodsburg there were 10,000 souls. Can you imagine if 8,000 people in the city of Harrodsburg were Christians? Oh, we said that would be wonderful. Well, you think it's not possible? You think 8,000 souls in Harrodsburg couldn't be converted?
Thank you.
want to be committed to the way that I believe. When people say that I'm not really convicted of my beliefs, why would I be able to convict them of anything? It takes that hard, fast commitment. We have to understand that. We cannot vacillate and we cannot waver and we cannot be tossed to and fro and like little children. We have to understand our commitments to God. Our commitment is to Jesus Christ. We have made that commitment to Him. And we need to honor that commitment. We're not serious about it. It's a very serious work. And it's not just for a few, a chosen few Christians. God hasn't chosen a few of us to say, okay, now here's my select group, and so y'all go out and preach the gospel. He's chosen all of us to go out and preach the gospel. You know, as we read, I think it was last night, what, in Acts chapter 17? Where they come in and turn the whole city upside down? What would people in this community think if this congregation was so busy turning this city upside down? What would people in this community think? Well, the other denomination, or not the other denomination, the denominations, they want you and me to be like them. To show up and fill a pew up. We need to be more than that. We're not a denomination, so don't misunderstand when I said the other. That's what the denominations want. They want us to be just like them. But we're not like them. We're not like them at all. We need to be serious about the work that we have to do. Doing what works. There's an old adage that says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That applies right here. Preaching of the gospel ain't broke. The gospel doesn't need a new dress. The gospel doesn't need to be dressed up in some fancy way. The pure gospel of Jesus Christ will still convict people of their sins. It will still draw people to Christ. It ain't broke. It don't need to be fixed. If you look at the commands of the first century that God gave the church there, that's applicable to us today. That applies to us. And if they could accomplish God's work, then so can we. This lesson is not a lesson of indictment. This lesson is meant to encourage us that we can do like the first century Christians did if we'll set our mind to it. Brother Keith taught us in Sunday school class this past Sunday when they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. In short order, they had those walls rebuilt. And why did they have those walls rebuilt? Well, because they had this big, huge, gigantic construction team came in there. No. They rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem quickly because they had a mind to work. Is our mind ready to work? If the first century Christians could accomplish what God said, then the 21st Christians can accomplish what God said as well by following the same formula. The same formula that works today that worked then. But we've got to follow the pattern. We've got to follow that and understand that. We have to remember, too, that God knows what works and what doesn't work. God knows the gospel works. God knows that fun and frolic doesn't. Someone said, how do you know that fun and frolic doesn't work? Because God told us to do this and not that. God told us to preach the gospel, not have fun and entertainment. God knows what works. And He knows what doesn't work as well. So if we do what the first century Christians do, we will accomplish what they accomplished. Now we get discouraged sometimes. We talk to people. I do. I talk to people in Campbellsville. I'll meet somebody on the street and I'll be talking to somebody and they'll say, hey, I recognize your voice. Are you on the radio? Yeah. I listen to you on Sunday mornings. Why don't you come on over and worship with us? Why don't you come on over and visit with us at Sunny Hill? And someone say, I'm going to. So then I might see them again. I say, hey, I thought you were coming to worship. Well, I'm going to. We're waiting. We're waiting. So we talk to people. And when they don't show up and when they don't study, we kind of get discouraged. But we We have to learn to pick ourselves up. Go to the next person. Talk to them about their soul. Talk to them about the Bible. Talk to them about godliness and what the Bible teaches about being a Christian. We need to talk to those people about those things. And if we'll do that, we'll accomplish at least a minimum of what they accomplished. And by that I mean we'll accomplish the spreading of the gospel to other creatures. So what about you? Are you willing to work together with me, with God, with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you willing to work together? Are we willing to work together for the good of the cause of Christ in this community and other communities as well? We need to. We need to. For the good of the gospel, we must work together to teach those who are lost. There's nothing that can wash away your blood. Well, that's not the song you chose, though, is it? That's the next song. Hark the gentle voice. But there is nothing that can wash away your sins but the blood of Jesus. And the way you contact that blood is by believing that Jesus Christ is God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him before people like this audience tonight, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's how you contact the soul-saving blood of Christ. And that's the only thing that washes away your sins. Peter said, it's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism, the first part of that verse, baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh. It's not getting in there and washing the dirt off your arms. But it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. It's the putting off of sin. It's burying the old man of sin in the watery graves of baptism, being raised to walk in newness of life, a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what we are. And so Jesus is gently calling us. He's not barking out this. He's gently calling us. So we need to listen to that gentle voice that's calling us to obedience. So we would love for you to obey the gospel tonight. Become a worker with those of us who are trying to teach others the gospel. Be fellow laborers together. We can work together to try to save the souls of men and women who are living and dying in sin. If you're a child of God by the wayside, but you've gone back into neglectful duty, then repent and come back. We'll pray with you and for you that you might be restored to faithful service. I want to encourage you. If we can help you in any way, please let us know while together we stand and while we stand.